No action from the Fed. What about the European Central Bank?
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. If you were among those hoping for more economic stimulus from the Federal Reserve, I'm sorry to tell you that none is coming for now. The Fed announced yesterday that it is prepared to act if the economy gets worse, but for now, nada. Which brings us to the European Central Bank, which is holding a meeting today in Frankfurt and might have a little something up its sleeve for the global economy. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
The Fed offered no new solutions to the lagging economy yesterday, but said it would do something if things get worse. Greg McBride is senior financial analyst at Bankrate.com.
Without actually doing anything, what the Fed did do was hint with a little bit stronger language that additional stimulus is very likely if the economy continues to languish in first gear.
Now attention turns to the European Central Bank. Its president, Mario Draghi, has promised to do whatever it takes to preserve the euro amidst the ongoing debt crisis. But Paul Dales with Capital Economics in London isn't expecting a quick fix.
What seems to be happening is that policymakers in Europe are jumping from one band-aid fix to another. So it seems like this is going to rumble on for some time.
Dales says the U.S. sends a relatively small share of its exports to Europe, about 13%. But he says the uncertainty is another dark cloud hanging over the U.S. economy. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
On Capitol Hill today, a House committee is looking into the effects of the Supreme Court's recent ruling on health care, specifically just how the IRS will assess a tax on people who don't carry health insurance. Opponents of the health care overhaul say the IRS isn't authorized to collect and share the personal information that's required. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has more.
The IRS will assess whether people and businesses owe money for not having insurance. And it'll provide income and household data so the new health insurance exchanges can determine whether people are eligible for subsidies to pay their premiums. Republican Representative Scott Desjarlais of Tennessee says this goes too far.
It gives unprecedented power to the IRS. Now they're having to collect data from all the companies, plus it's going to involve more information than people have had to give in the past.
But Henry Aaron at the Brookings Institution insists this is not a new mandate for the IRS.
There's a long history of asking individuals for information about their income or even their net worth, their assets, for them to qualify for federal programs.
And Aaron says the IRS has precious little enforcement power if you fail to pay the tax for not carrying insurance. It can deduct the amount from your refund, but it can't dock your wages to get the money. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed across Europe and Asia this morning, down 0.5% in Hong Kong, but turning higher across Europe, up 0.4% in London right now. Two big Japanese electronics companies are reporting losses today. Sony and Sharp say a weakening global economy is hurting demand for TVs and other electronics, and a strong Japanese yen is making products more expensive overseas. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 37 points to close at 12,971.
Enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
Later this morning, Freddie Mac will tell us what the average interest rate is right now for a 30-year fixed mortgage. Last week, the rate fell below 3.5% for the first time in 60 years of record keeping. Add that to the growing chorus of people who are saying the housing market has finally hit bottom, and you might think a housing recovery is near. Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell joins us now with his take. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So, Chris, do you think that the housing market has hit bottom, as many people are saying right now?
Oh, I believe it has hit bottom. But here's the thing, Jeremy. Don't believe those real estate agents when they say it's hit bottom and it's going to rebound. The market is going to be flat for a long time to come.
Wait, so you think that it's hit the bottom, but it's not going to start to come back up again?
That's right, because for one reason, I just don't see a lot of net new household formation, which is the big driver in the housing market. It's been running at about 600,000 to 800,000 for the past couple of years. And Jeremy, we haven't seen numbers this low since the 1940s, and I don't see it changing anytime soon.
But the economy is slowly getting better. I mean, slowly but surely, job growth is coming back, albeit a weaker pace than many would like. But also, you've got mortgage rates at very low levels. I mean, why wouldn't the housing market start to rebound?
Two big reasons. The reason why there's less household formation is lots of young people are living in their parents' basement. And, you know, this economy is doing better, but it's not doing great. There's not a lot of great income growth. There's not a lot of good jobs out there. So they're going to move very slowly out of that basement. And then immigrants. Immigrants are big buyers. They want a stake in this country. But immigrant buying has really fallen. And I don't see that changing anytime soon either.
Well, what's it going to take then, Chris, to get this housing market to rebound?
You know, people are looking so much at the housing market. And they're forgetting to look at the other side of the equation, income growth. All right. So, yes, house prices are down 35% since the bubble burst. But there's been no real growth in income. In fact, median household income, real median household income adjusted for inflation is down by more than 8% over the past decade. So we need to see some real income growth before people start thinking housing is affordable.
Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell, thanks as always.
Thanks a lot, Jeremy.
And finally to Australia, where the finance minister has an unusual economic hero, not Milton Friedman or John Maynard Keynes, but rather Bruce Springsteen. Finance Minister Wayne Swan says Springsteen saw what many economists missed with his songs about the collapse of the New Jersey construction industry and the closure of small town stores. And Swan says his economic Bible is the 1975 album Born to Run. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
In the day we sweated out on the streets of a runaway American dream. At night we ride.
This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.